and gentlemen, buckle up. We're going 3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. That is me speaking to you guys on the airwaves once again on this Thursday night. I'll get into that in just a moment. Eddie Greer, 30 of you guys. Those of you just tuning in for the very first time, the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast is all about, obviously, what's happening in the three biggest divisions of all of motorsports. We're talking about the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. The three biggest divisions in all of racing. And this is the weekend edition of the podcast recording. As I said just a moment ago, on a Thursday night, March 14th, 2019, or 2019, however you guys prefer it. And as usual, Big D's here with me inside the EG3 garage area. And reason why we're recording on a Thursday night, because I have some things I gotta take care of tomorrow, obviously, including the interview that will be airing officially next week with a driver, which will not be named, revealed until next week on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Looking forward to that. Also, got to take care of some things as well. And tomorrow night at this time, K-State will be playing in the Big 12 semifinals. Get into that on the back end of the weekend edition here tonight. But as usual, here we'll do the same thing that we've always done here as we started at the beginning of the year. We'll recap the three things that I've learned from the weekend, and obviously we wrap the West Coast swing at Fontana, and we'll preview, talk a little bit about California, as well as the latest additions to the ballot of the Hall of Fame was introduced yesterday as well. It's jam-packed episode. Let's just get right down to business. As usual, the three things that I've learned from ISM Raceway. Obviously, you've heard it already. If you've not, then where the heck have you been the last few days? Obviously, the number one thing, the inside lane, the fast way around this track, Kyle Busch. Obviously, one win away from basically making history, or I should say tie for history, 200 wins. Obviously, if you missed out the episode, the post-race reaction of ISM, make sure you go back to listen to that on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. But again, I'm not going to say evaluate much until that happens, obviously. And there's been a lot of debate, obviously, with Kyle Busch and his wins, obviously, in the Xfinity Series and going back to Gander Outdoor, the pure dominance that he has put on Xfinity Series drivers, regulars, and regulars of the Truck Series since his time in the sport. And he's obviously in the Xfinity Series. He looked to tie Richard Petty for the most wins, but the difference is Petty did it in one series, while Kyle Busch has done this feat and continue to do this feat, in matter of speaking, in three different divisions. Will Kyle Busch make history this weekend? I should say make history, should tie or make history, or will somebody else step up and back up the trash talk that I'm going to incorporate, or the Xfinity Series Riders Incorporated, last week over social media, which leads into the middle groove. The second thing I learned from ISM is Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell. Obviously, they've got to some great starts here early on in the 19 campaign in the Xfinity Series. Reddick, your reigning champ in this series, saying, we got to prevent this cat. And Christopher Bell is a teammate of Kyle Busch's, obviously, from Joe Gibbs Racing stable. They wanted to break up the party and give Kyle and make Kyle Busch wait it out. And I've listened to Race Hub, the latest episode of Race Hub, earlier on the wet drive during work. And I believe it was Regan Smith that said, I would love to see, this is his quotes, not mine, he would prefer Kyle Busch do it as 1,000 start at Texas in a couple weeks. Regan, I got news for you, son. I don't think that's going to happen. Especially if Kyle is entered into this Xfinity race this weekend. Especially if it happens on Saturday. I don't think that wait might be short-lived, buddy. For all that is. And what's staying in the way, of course, let's not forget, obviously, a name, Bell Allgaier. And let's throw in Cole Custer in here. Allgaier's needs to get back out of the bad luck house over the last couple of weeks. These guys are going to have to start stepping up here and challenge Kyle Busch. These guys, and even us media people say it, you know, to be the best, you got to go up there and challenge and beat the best. It's all talk and game, fun and games and all that other stuff. But if you're not doing it, that's another thing, and that's what I'm seeing right now. Obviously, Kyle Busch is in another zip code, and sorry, folks, I'm seeing how it is right now. Kyle Busch winning all these races right now. 5 of his last 7 that I mentioned a few times on the post-race reaction of ISM here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Christopher Bell, he's the top challenger, and if Bell doesn't get into trouble there with that lap car blowing up, putting whatever it was on that racetrack, either it was oil or no oil at all, Bell was the challenger to Kyle Busch. And I definitely see Bell do challenge Kyle Busch. Obviously, they're in the same equipment, so yeah, why not? He's the number one choice, obviously. Reddick, I put him as the number two challenger, and I would put Cole Custer at number 3 to challenge Kyle Busch. And if Kyle Busch goes out, it's a free game for everybody. But more than likely, unless he steps on his own toes or has an issue on pit road or whatever it is, Kyle Busch is going to be the front runner. Other than Christopher Bell, I have not seen that. Austin Cindric won it. Let's not forget, Austin Cindric, he won a stage. He had a strong 22 Mustang last week at ISM too. So these guys, they got the horses to get it done. And it's all about executing and staying out of trouble. And I did not watch the Xfinity Series race, folks, last week. From what it looks like, I will be able to watch more than I watched last week. So, it's all eyes on the TV set this weekend, because Kyle Busch can easily get 200 in the Xfinity Series. It's going to be more of a challenge, in my opinion, to get the cup this week. Because a few more challengers can challenge for that spot. But if those guys, Bell, Reddick, Custer, Cindric, Allgaier, trying to bounce back, those guys can get something together here. And the biggest thing here, no mistakes. That's the key here. I don't know how Bell got back there in the first place anyways. Or either that or he was running up front, one of the two. And yeah, these lap cars, I don't understand. And if you've heard me, if you've been a listener of this podcast, you know my stance on these lap cars affecting these these races. And I'm not going to go in that whole discussion, because that's going to lead me down to another avenue. But these guys, these Xfinity Series regulars, they're going to have no mistakes. Especially these top contenders that you see each and every week run up front. And I made note on the rundown sheet, Big D, that Kyle Busch has won consecutive, I believe, actually, no, check that. It's Michael Annette, Christopher Bell won the first couple races. And then since then, Kyle Busch has taken over and won the last two. So, 2-on-2, who's going to get the upper hand here? Will it be the Xfinity regular this weekend, or will Kyle Busch score win number 200. That's something, obviously, we're all going to be keeping an eye on here this weekend out in Fontana. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3 rolling along on the weekend preview edition of the podcast. This episode will be going up tomorrow, not this evening, so we'll be uploading that tomorrow, so look for that as well. In the third and final thing, moving our vehicle to the high side, Jimmy Johnson, and obviously we'll touch on Joe Gibbs and Penske here momentarily that I got on the rundown sheet here tonight. Jimmy Johnson scoring an 8th place finish. He and Kevin Harvick banging fenders at ISM last week. And we saw Jimmy Johnson up there lead a couple of laps for a little bit. And once again, how many times is this Big D that we've seen Henrik Motorsports get off to a slow start? This is like the third or fourth year in a row that Henrik Motorsports comes out of the gates very, very slow. And you know, you got one your most popular driver right now. He is struggling a little bit. Bowman had his tire issues, and William Byron still adjusting a little bit to Chad Knaus and that switch right there. And obviously, Jimmy Johnson, a part of that crew chief driver swap there with Kevin Mendering there as his new crew chief. But Jimmy Johnson, that 8th place finish right there last week, is that a telltale sign of things to come for this 48? I do not know yet, obviously, and this goes back to last year where he still has not won any races going back to Bristol of 17. Does this fix their rules at all? I do not know. From the looks of it, yes, Jimmy Johnson's going home to his home track out there in Auto Club this weekend. If anything else, you know, he even quoted himself. And again, ladies and gentlemen, how many times have I said it on this podcast that Henrik Motorsports is struggling? And yes, you would think with the after the year they had with the Camaro and the year that second half of the year that Chase had last year, you would think that, okay, we got, even with the new aero package coming in, that, okay, hey, you know, we learned a few things, you know, let's get this thing back on a ship here and let's sail with it, you know what I'm saying? But that has not that has not happened. And yes, you got Kurt Busch, Kyle Larson. If you would ask me right now, Ganassi is strong right now. And yes, Henrik gives engine support to Ganassi. We covered that a little bit with Kyle Larson's comments with Henrik a couple of weeks ago in his podcast. But right now, you would ask me right now, and I would believe at least more than 80% of y'all would probably agree with me that Ganassi is top dog right now than Henrik Motorsports right now. And that, to me, is a red light in itself. One, because you got two cars over there against four. Any other situation that you're dealing with, you got Kurt Busch over there pushing Kyle Larson. And I said that from the get-go. I believe Kurt Busch will push Kyle Larson and push him to be a little bit more better and consistent. We saw both Ganassi cars finish up inside the top 10 last week there. Larson getting, I believe it was a 7th place finish there, and Kurt Busch is 6th, somewhere in there. I might be wrong, but I'm not wrong about the top 10s. They were both finished up there into the top 10. Big D is working on going back to the ISM top 10 sheet there from last week. But yeah, Henrik Motorsports, Chase Elliott, most popular driver in the sport right now, ain't getting in the finishes that he's looking for. Bowman having his issues. Byron still working out the kinks with the championship crew chief of Chad Knaus. Jimmy Johnson, the 7-time champ, and he was fired up after that clash win that he wrecked the field with Paul Menard, the star of the show of wrecking the field there. So something's still missing in that program. I don't know what it is, and they know. People inside Henrik Motorsports know better than I do right now. And it's the fact we're going to another fast track. And, I mean, short tracks, it evens out the playing field a little bit. of, you know, the speed and whatnot that goes into to this new package rule. And yeah, so Kyle Larson, yeah, I was right. So Kyle Larson, 6th, Kurt Busch finished 7th. So yeah, Ganassi and Kurt Busch has been challenging for the wins here in the last couple weeks on this West Coast swing. So again, I don't know, you know, what's up with Hendrick Motorsports. And, you know, Chase Elliott was a lead dog last year, as we all know, in the second half of the year, leading the Hendrick Brigade. And this year, start off on the wrong foot, and they're behind the 8-ball right now. I don't think it's going to get any better as we go to another fast track. Maybe Martinsville, we might see the 9 back in the play. The 48 might get up in there some little bit. And maybe 24 and 88 can show a little bit more consistency than they have. But right now, Ganassi's top dog in that Camaro camp right now. Then Hendrick Motorsports, they got a lot of work to do to get where they need to be. Obviously, they know how to challenge for championships. We all know they challenge for championships year in, year out. But over the last couple years, and throwing part of this year, yeah, you think that I'm going to throw in the panic button on this team? Not yet, but I'm telling it like it is. I always do in this podcast. Hendrick Motorsports, they're out the gate slow, and they better figure it out here very, very quickly here if they're going to get on the scoreboard here in 19 in the first half of the season, not wait to the second half of the season, because everybody's getting better. And we've seen Roush Fenway Racing at least improve a little bit. So Hendrick Motorsports still at home plate looking for that first base hit here in the 19 campaign. That's three things that I've learned, EG3 has learned, from ISM weekend here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Moving forward now speaking of teams, before I get into that, the 5 new nominees on the Hall of Fame, NASCAR Hall of Fame ballot was added. We'll dive in more of these individuals when we do our post-race reaction of Fontana next week. Sam Ard, Marvin Ponch, Jim Pascal, and 2 names, actually really 3. Sam Ard, I know quite a bit, not personally, but know a lot of. And then 2 other names that we really should be familiar with. 1, Neil Bonnett on this list. And how about this? Owner and 3-time Monster Energy Series Cup champion Tony Stewart is on the list. Oh yeah, Tony Stewart on the list as a potential Hall of Fame candidate. And yeah, I'm going to say it right now here in the 3-Wide Pod. Yeah, oh yeah, there's no question. Tony Stewart is going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. That's no question. That's like Jeff Gordon, right? Jeff Gordon territory right there from January. And Tony Stewart, he's going to be right there. There's no doubt about it. And I mean, yeah, usually I don't go on and say, you know, oh yeah, he's a lock, whatever. But some things you do know, some things you don't. But one thing I do know, Tony Stewart, oh yeah, definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. For sure, the way that he impacted sport, his attitude, the way that he went about his business, his no give a damn attitude on the racetrack. Oh yeah, for sure. Stewart, he's still a factor in the sport now. He obviously Stewart Haas Racing with his 4 drivers, Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Eric Almirola, and new addition Daniel Suarez. So great names on this list. Again, we'll dive in more, a little bit more about each of these contestants when we talk post-race reaction of Auto Club next week here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. And now back to the teams that have gotten wins here in the 19 campaign. Joe Gibbs Racing and Penske. This has been the story of JGR versus Penske. And yes, it's early. Yes, I know this. But this is shaped up already to be a 2-team squad unless one of the other teams start stepping up and making something happen. Joe Gibbs Racing, led by none other than Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, your Daytona 500 champ this year, Martin Truex Jr., already 2 second-place finishes, and that Jones boy, Eric Jones, who started off hot as well. You got them, and you got Penske versus Penske. Ryan Blaney has led the most laps out of this group, but does not have a victory yet with his two comrades, Brad Keselowski at Atlanta and Joey Logano at Las Vegas in the first race of the West Coast Swing. So, I know I posed a question on the PETM podcast. I have not listened to the newest episode. I'm waiting till the end, to the weekend to listen to that. And I'm not going to pose that answer yet. I might sound homer because Truex is on Joe Gibbs Racing and all that stuff. But right now, who has the most, who has the dominant driver right now? Dominant's the wrong word. Who has the most prolific driver in the sport right now? We talked about him a lot this week already. Y'all know who he is. Kyle Busch. Okay. And who has the champ right now? The reigning champ. That's Joey Logano. Joey Logano, in my opinion, has entered in his prime. There's no question the momentum that he surged on for that championship, that win off of Martinsville that we're going to go to in a couple weeks. Not physically, but the series will go to in a couple weeks. And you got the Pesce Keselowski over there and the Ryan Blaney, the fast Ryan Blaney. If that 12 car can put it together like they did last week, winning this stage out there in Phoenix, out there, that's a team we're going to be working with now. And I said it a long time ago, he and Chase Elliott coming in up to the Cup Series, that Blaney was going to get the win first before Chase did. I was right on that. Instant on that prediction right here on the podcast. And I tell you what, right now, that 12 team gets their stuff together, they're gonna get in victory lane here before Chase does here this year. you might as well put me on record here again, because yes, you would think Chase Elliott, coming off that red hot second half of the year, winning three races and nearly getting into the championship four again. And then Blaney was up in there as well. So Blaney's had fast cars, but he has had bad luck up until last week. So, I mean, it's going to be a knockout, drag out here between these two organizations. That's what I'm seeing right now. You got great drivers. And for those of you who are Stuart Haas fans, you're going, why is this guy not talking about Stuart Haas Racing? Well, for one, they haven't won a race. They've been factors, okay, each and every week. Let's not forget, you know, Harvick won all them races last year. Clint Boyer came alive finally after being in the doghouse for a while. Eric Almirola came through with a huge win in the playoffs last year. And then Kurt Busch was over there last year, got a win at the night race at Bristol. And now he's moved on to different pastures and excelling at Ganassi. You're bringing Daniel Suarez in here, starting up a fight with Michael McDowell, which he won easily with that takedown. And, you know, Suarez has shown flashes of speed here this year so far. And there's a lot of pressure on that cat to get the job done in that ride. That there's no question, that's a winnable race car in that 41 car. In Harvick, there was questions about him, you know, he was the most dominant driver at ISM the last several years, 9 wins out that place, and he was not dominant Harvick out there at Phoenix. And so that's telling right there. They got a little bit of work to do there. Clint Boyer was a much of a factor. When we sat and watched for quite a while, up until we had to go for our small group, Big D, Boyer was trying to chase down Kyle, but he didn't have much for him. Eric Almirola has been, to me, in my opinion, the most consistent. And yes, and that might be surprising to a lot of y'all, because yes, Kevin Harvick has contended, but that car has faded in the fourth quarter like it did in the fourth quarter of the ISM race. So yeah, that no question, Ronnie Childers, that squad has got some work to do to close out races like they usually do with that four team. Eric Almirola, to me, you know, that drive that he has from last year, and remember, a lot of people don't know this, but Eric Almirola finished fifth in the points last year and carrying a lot of that momentum. Yes, he was part of that. One of many was part of that big wreck with Matthew Benedetto in the Daytona 500 in the season opener. But since then, this cast reeled off top 10 after top 10 after top 10 finish. So, folks, you got better start paying attention to the 10 car on Marola here throughout the season. He's going to be a player, but yeah, everybody's eyes is going to be, we know the players of Boyer Harvick. We know Harvick's going to get in victory lane. Even all that, what I've said tonight of Harvick, he's going to get the victory lane. Boyer's going to get his. Almirola is going to get in the victory lane. Question is, the biggest question for that team, can Daniel Suarez get the victory lane? That's the question we're asking right now. And yeah, you know, that whole UFC thing with McDowell and Drew Blickensturfer and all that, with messing around with those guys out there, you know, A plus for that. But the performance right now of that team, I give it another grade, but I'm going to hold off on that right now because it's still a little early season four grades right now. But, you know, Suarez, he's so flashy of that at Vegas, Daytona, some like in some tracks like that. But in the West Coast swing, you know, you're going to have to show up here at Fontana here this weekend. So definitely we'll see how Suarez bounces back from all that mess last week. And he needs to get up in here and make something happen, not only for the whole organization, but for himself and that race team, because that is no question a winning team there. But he's still got some work to do getting adjusted with the new team. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3 Weekend Edition. Big D's also here with me. A packed rundown here for this evening. And before we go to our intermission for tonight, two dropouts apparently, and I don't have my Twitter feed pulled up at the moment because we got game scoreboard pulled up right now. But I ran across this, and we might save it for the post race reaction next week on this podcast. But I came across a couple of things that really came to my eyes was two dropouts, I guess, or. And we'll just leave it at that. Two dropouts of, I guess, the NASCAR Hall list or whatever, or didn't want to be on there, whatnot. One of those names was Kurt Schermerdine. Of course, he was crew chief of Dale Earnhardt back in the old school days. And another one that appeared to be dropped off was a female that had made an impact on the sport and still does. Jeanette Guthrie was also left off the list. I'll do a little bit more reading on this here this weekend, but I don't, you know, for a sport that it might be too early for me to comment on it, and I'll just do a little summary here, and we will go into intermission break for Kurt Schermerdine. Huge impact crew chief, and at one point he owned his own race team in the 90s before he called it quits there, making an impact. These guys and gal have made impacts, so I don't know why you would leave off these people who have made an impact or some type of impact on the sport. Big D, I can't figure it out. And I don't have all the information yet. I just read bits and pieces here. I saw Nate Ryan post on it. The PETM podcast made a post about it. So to me, it's just mind-boggling why, you know, these people deserve to be on the ballot. You know, no matter if they get elected or not, these guys made an impact on the sport. And I'm not going to go Terrell Owens right now. I don't know what the reason is right now, but you know, it's bad. It's bad luck for NASCAR because these two, Kurt and Janet, they've made big time impacts on the sport, and leave them off the ballot or whatever issue it is. And again, I'm repeating myself a lot in the last few moments. But again, I just can't wonder why, you know, the Kurt and Janet are off the list. I just can't figure it out, folks. So, again, I'll read more into it this weekend, and I have probably more explanation for you guys next weekend, or I should say next week, excuse me, on the post-race reaction of Fontana, which is the final race of the West Coast trip. All right, folks, time to take our intermission break right here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. When we return, we'll talk a little bit about California next on the list. And obviously, we'll get into K-State as well here, as they're going to be moving on to the semifinals to face off against Iowa State. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll come back after this break. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We'll be back after this. Time out.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. That is me, Eddie Greer III, host of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Gainer Outdoor, Xfinity, Monster Energy, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And I know this podcast episode will not be up until tomorrow late afternoon, but right now, Tech is in trouble right now. The co-champions, we were co-champions with Texas Tech. They're having a battle out with West Virginia. They're off to a slow start like us today. But the Tech, they got some work to do here. Down by 11 right now as we're recording, finishing up recording the podcast against West Virginia, who escaped. They are, I should say, upset Oklahoma last night. There with the overturn of the three-point make there by Oklahoma into a two. Oklahoma lost, and now they have to wonder if they're going to make it to the tournament. And right now, this is a kind of a surprise here. If you ask me, West Virginia is one of the worst teams in the conference. But right now, we'll keep an eye on this for the time being, or Big D will, as top of the screen. California, the final race of the West Coast Twin. Logano won the opener. And then last week, of course, Kyle Busch swept the entire weekend and heads to this weekend, knows that he can make history here. As now, the Xfinity, we pull up our schedule now for what is going on. But first, the Xfinity Series, the Production Alliance Group 300 going down Saturday, 5 o'clock Eastern time. That's a 4 o'clock local start here in Kansas, Oklahoma, in Texas. And if you're looking out west, y'all know what it is. Y'all can figure it out that yourselves. And in the Cup race, the Monster Energy boys will roll off the Auto Club 400 to wrap this West Coast swing before they kick it back east. The Auto Club 400, 2:30 local start here in Manhattan, Kansas, where we do the podcast. Obviously, MHK, 3:30 Eastern time, standard time in West Coast. Again, so let's say it again. You guys can figure it out. Do the math here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. There is that. And of course, last year, the Xfinity Series. And obviously, you're going to get the restarts. And the restarts we saw last week at ISM were pretty hectic. Oh my goodness. Wide track, 2 mile track out there out west. Ooh, it's going to be traffic jam time. At Auto Club, that's for sure. We're going to be seeing a lot of fan out. I wouldn't be surprised. I know, pun intended, three wide, obviously. You know you're going to see that. Four wide, probably five wide. You shake your head. No? I might put you down on that, but you're going to see these restarts the way they are. Woo, it's going to get crazy. And then, like usual, you're going to see everything fan itself out here. But keep an eye, and this has been a repeated word on this podcast. Restarts are going to be key here in this thing. And you can take it however it is you want it. Critical that these guys get any position they can get on the racetrack on these restarts here this weekend out there in Fontana. And last year, of course, Joey Logano won this race a year ago. Your lead Xfinity Series driver, Justin Allgaier, finished in the second spot. He's had bad luck the last two races. He looks to get off schneid here this weekend at Fontana. Not only that, trying to throw Kyle Busch, like I talked about earlier on tonight on the podcast. He, Christopher Bell, and others, Reddick, Cole Custer, Cindric, those guys, they're going to have work cut out for them. If you don't want Kyle Busch to spoil the party, win 200, tie for history, better get up on that wheel and do something. So we'll be looking for that to go down on Saturday. And, of course, the Cup Series, again, comes the key points here at this point. Obviously, we go back to last year's race. That was one other than Martin Truex Jr. taking the field all the way out there and putting them to sleep, pretty much. I don't think sleep is the right word, but I should say domination was the right word for this category, winning both the stages and the race a year ago. And that was his first race of the year, first win of the year for Truex. And the way that this thing is trending right now, I wouldn't be surprised to see him back in victory lane, scoring back-to-back wins at Cali. The way he and that team has really come on after, of course, being part of the big one at Daytona. If you heard me say this a lot already this year, a lot of drivers were a part of that, as I stated early on in tonight's episode. But yeah, but again, though, Truex, though, is going to be dealing with Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson's office wins. This is a crazy stat, and you've heard it on several media podcasts out there. Kyle Larson, his only wins have come for the exception of Richmond, majority of his wins have come on 2 mile tracks, including this one right here a couple of years ago. Kyle Larson knows how to get around this place. And again, you go back to Atlanta in this package, or it was back then a couple of weeks ago, a partial package, whatever, same thing. Larson had the dominant car, and then he got caught speeding on pit road with Harvick and them, turned his race a complete 180. So Larson, he's definitely going to be a player in this one. And you got your normals up in here. Harvick looking to get back in here. And again, I talked about it earlier tonight. Penske, throw Blaney in the mix now. Logano, Keselowski, those guys are going to be a force to be reckoned with here this weekend. The Joe Gibbs cars, Kyle Busch, Truex, Hamlin, Eric Jones, those guys. So who out of this should you keep an eye on here? Going to be a surprise or a sleeper in my eyes here? Whew. I will go with the three of Austin Dillon. For what it is, they almost had a top five last week, but ran out of gas. So, Austin Dillon, he can pull off some. He usually is pretty good here. And the last time they were on a 2 mile track, Austin Dillon came on in the second half of the race to finish the run-up to none other than, guess who, Kevin Harvick, back at Michigan. Austin Dillon, one of his best, if not the best, performance. Well, actually, it was second best to his Daytona 500 win a year ago. But outside of that, though, that was probably the best performance for Austin Dillon, that three team. That's something to keep an eye on him. I will keep an eye on that three car and probably his teammate to boot. And Dale Hemric, RCR is trying to make something happen this year. Probably lost that team in all that mix. With, of course, Ganassi and Hendrick, in opposite directions right now. I'll probably put RCR right smack in the middle of those two organizations right now, is because, you know, they've shown flashes of speed here and there, especially in practice, but when it comes game time, they ain't nowhere to be found. So they got to work on that Sunday speed if they're going to be more relevant here as the 19 campaign rolls on. That's sort of my California preview here in the 3Y NASCAR podcast. But yeah, man, restarts going to be a huge factor in this one. And let's not forget the players. They're going to be factors in here. And that's going to be and obviously something to keep an eye on here also. Suarez, and it might not be much, but I'm just going to throw out there anyways. Suarez, Logano, and Truex all tested out here. Three of those cars, just the three of them, tested out here, played around with this pack, this new aero package in the off season. So that's just something to keep in mind as we go through, about to enter in this weekend, this race weekend out there in Fontana. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR podcast. And yeah, so Truex looking to get on the board. He's been really close. But again, that 200 watts for Kyle Busch is there if he does not get it done in the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3 talking. Just got done talking Cali Auto Club this weekend. And before we talk K-State here to close the podcast here real quick, let's check the standings one more time. Just recap real quick heading into this weekend. New leader in the Xfinity Series, your defending champ, Tyler Reddick, over Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Michael Annette, your Daytona winner, Brandon Jones. Annette and Jones are tied for fourth pretty much. Austin Shinnick lurking sixth. Reddick and Bell doing all that talking on social media. That gap between the 2 and the 20 for back. That's C. Bell. And in the cup side, Kyle Busch by 6 on defending champ Logano. Kevin Harvick is 3rd. Denny Hamlin 4th. Martin Truex Jr. has climbed himself to the 5th position and carrying steaming momentum into Auto Club this weekend. All right, folks. K-State winner today. Obviously, I didn't get to watch it. I was on the road, but I did keep up with it until getting into town. I was able to listen to the radio here at work driving back to my destination here in town, getting back into town and turning on the radio and listening to it and hearing it. And yeah, K-State got off to a slow start, and I thought, oh gosh, here we go once again with K-State. You know, in the news here in the basketball world here, down here, up here in Kansas, or say the MHK, Dean Wade out for the Big 12 tournament, and Bruce Weber focusing on the NCAAs here for Dean. Hopefully, he's going to be close to 100% because K-State, they do need him if they're going to go deep. But obviously, K-State proved last year that they can somewhat play without him and make that incredible run to the Elite Eight. And here, this is what they need right here. They got off to a slow start here, and then Barry Brown can't do everything. And Levi Stockard, huge off the bench. Levi Stockard has been out of right field the last couple of games. He stepped up in a huge way. We won by 9, and those 8 points, huge off the bench. Not only that, X comes alive. For those of you who don't know, that's Xavier Sneed. Come alive. I don't know what it is about playoff basketball, what I like to call it in NCAA, but he loves the moment. Xavier Sneed coming up huge at several instances, making big-time threes there, making big plays. Cartier, Jada returning. And so Jada switched places with Dean Wade. Wade sitting out for this tournament. Jada returns from a hand injury. Jada was huge in this one. Pretty much, this is the recipe for K-State here. The rest of the way here. Yes, this is going up tomorrow, like I stated. But K-State, if they get balanced scoring, they get guys that step up. I don't care who it is. If it's Barry Brown, Stokes, one night, or Sneed, Stockard, or one May Ween, Jada, McGurl, Shawnee Williams, Austin Trice, whatever, You know, they're going to have to be well balanced here. And that's what, that's a perfect example of it right there. TCU jumping on them, jumped out to a 12-point lead. I thought, oh gosh, this is going to be one of those disappointments where we beat this team twice in the regular season and come up small. But instead, after the first, 13 minutes, Big D, you texted me and said, okay, here goes K-State. You know, they're back in their old ways. But K-State, after 13 minutes, they woke up pretty much. They were sweet-walking early, woke up, and went on that run to finish off the first half, including the Xavier State 3 to cap it. And then from then on, K-State just took control of this game. And here we are facing Iowa State tomorrow night. That's why we're recording this episode tonight, because of the fact that, yeah, they're playing tomorrow night, the first game of the evening double dip at the Big 12 tournament. So in Kansas City, so that is why we're recording this tonight instead of Friday afternoon like I usually record it. So, I mean, the last time we played Iowa State, we did not have Cardi Ejada, but we had Dean Wade in there. Dean Wade got hurt, and Iowa State made all those threes, and then the Horton Tucker challenge, or whatever you want to call that stuff, shooting threes and all that other stuff, making them and all that other stuff. Yeah, and Iowa State taking out Kansas City like we've seen in the past. In Big 12, you're shaking your head, yes. For those of you who don't know, yeah, Iowa State up here at the Midwest, you know, they travel big time when the Big 12 tournament's here, especially we have seen, or I've experienced in the last several years living up here. Iowa State, they take over Kansas City probably better than KU does Kansas. But, yeah, so we're playing them. Oh, it's going to be a great atmosphere. For sure, in that first game. We don't know who's going to play in that second game yet. That's yet to be decided. It'll be decided, obviously, by the end of the night. But, yeah, this is going to be a good game, because K-State now has a chance to get out of the last time they made it to the Big 12 tourney was my senior year at K-State back a few years ago in 13. So that's the last time they've been to a Big 12 final, at least from where I'm standing at anyway. So great chance, great opportunity here. And that's what K-State, they're going to have to do. People are going to have to step up. They know how to do it. They've been here before. And that is why, you know, I really think they can get. I know I do not want to look too far ahead down the railroad tracks right now. But that is exactly what the recipe they need to advance and to try to get to this Big 12 final, which is on Saturday. So that's what they need right here. The co-champs with Texas Tech, K-State, moving on to the next round. Dean Wade out for the Big 12 tournament, and he's going to be with doctors the entire time, obviously, to see, hopefully. And this is Bruce looking ahead to the NCAAs, where Dean was missed a year ago. K-State beating TCU there in Kansas City at the early game this afternoon. And backing up to this other game here real quick before we sign off here, waiting for the screen to give us the current score right now. Ooh! Yeah, see, you guys can't see this right now, but Tech still trailing West Virginia here by 14. This is a complete surprise. Tech shared a championship with K-State, and they are struggling here in West Virginia right now, looking to make the upset of the tournament right here with 11 minutes to play here in this game here. Very surprising here. And who knows, when we shut this thing down here tonight, maybe Tech can go on a run, because I really wanted the Tech K-State round 3 for the championship. But still a lot of basketball to be played, though. But right now, last place, or I should say second to last place, West Virginia in the conference, taking Texas Tech to the limit. The co-champs right now, 58-44 currently, as we're wrapping up this podcast. And the other game that will decide the other semifinal comes on later on tonight after the falling. This game, Texas, taking on KU. Obviously, KU not winning the Big 12 regular season championship finally after some 14 years of winning the thing. So KU, obviously, they have a strong presence in KC as well. As so does us, K-State. That's why I believe that atmosphere with the K-State, Iowa State is going to be off the hook tomorrow night. In Kansas, they look to get motivated and advance to the next round. So definitely exciting basketball ahead, at least on the Big 12 side for us down here. Or I should say up here in Kansas right there. Yeah, so there is that as well. You can follow me at EG3_FastEddie again on Twitter at EG3_FastEddie. And remember the giveaway at 350 followers on my handle. And you can follow the 3Y NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast. Apple Podcast, Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes, and more. Please add a 3Y NASCAR podcast to your collection of racing podcasts, sports podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. The 3Y NASCAR podcast continues to grow each and every week, and I am proud to do it each and every week, and also proud to associate myself with the family of NASCAR podcasts who do great content, weekly. Great talks, great discussions, like the PETM podcast, the Lap Traffic podcast, Loose Lugs podcast, the MassCast, and the Dale Jr. Download obviously is in there. I might be leaving out a couple. The NASCAR NBC podcast was pretty good that I listened to early today as well. So definitely very thankful that I'm associated with those podcasts. Those podcasts I listed, go add them to your library collection of podcasts. And, oh yeah, we will be talking post-race Fontana here next week. And obviously, we'll talk the results of K-State, of where we finished up at this tournament as well. So, a lot going on as well. And another reminder, the interview that I'm recording tomorrow will be posted next week on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. So definitely excited to have another driver in-house here in the EG3 Garage. Well, Big D, we got to go watch the rest of this basketball game in the next one in the Texas Kansas, because this is really getting interesting over here. So, and we got food cooking in here. So we got to wrap this thing up. Big D, let's wrap it that up, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we have finished up another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. That's a wrap for another edition of this podcast. 3Wide, EG3, we're right out of here. Thank you for listening to the podcast tonight. Eddie Greer III saying thank you for hanging in with us tonight on this special edition of the podcast. And this will be posted tomorrow, so you'll be getting this. And we got, what are you guys talking about? Well, this was recorded on Thursday night, so enjoy it, enjoy the race weekend. And folks up here in Kansas, we're moving on to the semifinals, and hopefully we can get ourselves to the Big 12 final. But for us, that's it for now. Thank you for listening, and again, that old saying that we've said all weekend, all week long, Kyle Busch gunning for 200.
Show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Wide.